The Grind.
It's The Grind
with Nathan McCray.
There's just no way you can get enough of me. Yo, mister.
Giving real insight needed daily. Call 657-383-1291. That's 657-383-1291. It's blogtalkradio.com, The Grind 101. Join your host, Nathan McCray, 8 a.m. Eastern, every Tuesday through Thursday, for an unscripted conversation. It's The Grind, 657-383-1291.
Not an hour, another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to you. Come rescue me, I need you right. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. Not another day. Another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you before to show up and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend, I know in me. I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. The agony of being doing things on my own, the tests and trials that come to make me strong.
Hey, hey, what's up, everybody? Man, I hope you guys have had a very, very productive week thus far. I know it's just Tuesday, man, but great morning to everybody on Facebook Live. Great morning to everybody in Blog Talk Radio land, man. I don't have my people on Instagram on just yet, but great morning to them as well. I'm going to get them on here in a second. But, man, share this out because, you know, I've been doing some meditating today and in my prayer room this morning. And I really want to share something with you guys. I really do. Share this out. Get some people on the line because I have something that's going to bless you guys. Good morning, everybody. Down Facebook Live. Let me see if I can scroll here. Awesome, awesome. What's going on? Great morning, Ms. Gemma James Graham. Great morning, Ms. Sean Jackson Hughes. Ms. Farrell, great morning. Miss Larissa Barclay, what's going on? Great morning, young lady. Great to have y'all on the grind, man. Share this out. I'm going to play another song for you guys, but I got something I want to share, man. It's going to bless you guys. It really, really is because that's me as well. Great morning, Pam McCray, my lovely wife. Love you, too. Really, really, man. Got something going to bless you guys big time. But I want to play another song for you right quick. I'm just in that mood, man, this morning. And I kind of want to break things up for you guys a little bit, but I don't. But then I do. But I want to play this song right here because I'm not going to break it up. I'm going to stay in the closet with y'all today and see if I can pull it up here. You know, one of my all-time favorite songs is In the Middle by Snoky Northrum. We'll talk about it here in just a moment. No, it's not that one. It's this one. All right, guys, we'll be right back. Get it out.
Not a second or another minute. Not an hour or another day. But at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way. I've done so many times. Sometimes it seems hard to see, I care for you. And sometimes it's hard for you to that I'm there with you. Oh, be strong, hold on, and know I'm right there in the middle. Oh, when you cry, I was there. When you cry, I made you happy. Times I must question your faith. Oh, don't give up, always look up, don't give in. I'm right there in the middle, yeah, yeah. Hey, heart, I come right there. I'm in the middle.
of your pain, yeah. I was there when they tried to take your hope away. I was there when you didn't know you right from wrong, yeah. I was there when your friends walked out on you. I was there when you didn't know what to do, yeah. When you searched and found all of your family was gone. When you couldn't see your night from day, oh.
Absolutely anything in the whole wide world that you wanted to do, man, but you decided to chime in with little old me this morning, man, and I don't take that lightly. Guys, without you, there is no me, man. So thank you guys for jumping on this morning, man, on this version of The Grind, man. I want to talk about the middle this morning because, man, we all have those moments, man. We realize that there's some things going on, and just to be honest with you guys, man, they hurt. Some things hurt, and I'm gonna speak to somebody this morning. Really, this is gonna bless somebody this morning, guys, because I'm gonna let you guys in on some things. Hey, what's going on, Shelly Sam Beaver, The Grind? What's going on, Miss Elena McCann Brinson? Welcome to The Grind, Miss Cynthia R. Armstead. Welcome to The Grind, Miss Lisa Farrow. Welcome to The Grind, lady, Miss Tiffany Macon, live on The Grind. Welcome. Who else do we have? If I miss you, charge it to my head, not my heart, man. I love you guys. Thank you for jumping on, man. But, you know, let's jump in. That's one of my all-time favorite songs. I got to say, that's probably, that's probably my favorite song. Great morning, Miss Princess Tavares. That's my favorite song because it speaks to me in a way that no other song speaks to me. Now, I don't know what your song is. Your song does it for you, whatever that is. I'm not discounting it, but that's probably my favorite song. It's In the Middle by Smokey Norfolk. And what's going on, Jacqueline Shaw? Welcome to The Grind. You know, it's a matter of, you know, when you really, really think about what you've been through, because somebody's going through some things right now, all right? Somebody's going through some stuff right now. What's going on, Mr. Scott? What's up, bro? Great to see you, man, on The Grind. Right here on Instagram. Robert Bullock, what's going on, sir? Great morning. Can't forget about IG people. Who else we got here? Tisha 123, welcome to The Grind. All right, guys, share this out. But here's the thing. Man, there's some things that happens in everybody's life. And I gotta tell you guys, they hurt. And sometimes you feel as if alone, and this is my all-time favorite song, simply because it speaks to that spot. It speaks to the middle. Middle is that point where you really find yourself in the midst of your storm. I'm not talking about trying to fix anybody else's stuff. I'm talking about in the midst of your storm, because no matter what's going on in life, how many people you're helping, yeah, it's about helping a lot of other people. But at the end of the day, when you come home, you want peace. You want peace in your house. You want peace in the middle of your storm. And it's often hard, man, to find that peace. It really is. And it's that in the middle, guys, that's that spot that hurts the most when you're going through. And it's a spot where it seems like everybody kind of just left you. It may seem as if everybody just kind of forsake you. You know, nobody is there. If you've helped everybody else and everybody else is gone now, and it's just you, and you're left to deal with that pain. You know, you're left to deal with the issues that you have. And, you know, the thing about it is whether you feel, whether or not somebody else helped you create it or not, they're still your issues, man. And more importantly, it's still your pain. You know, the middle is that spot where you have to make a decision to do what's right or what's wrong, good or bad. It's really that spot where you have to decide if I want to move, keep moving forward, or want to move backwards, man. It's a very small spot, but it's that spot. This spot is like that snake spot in your back, man, or it's that little pain, that little headache that's in your head, that little piercing feeling that you can't get rid of. It's that little pain right there that can just stop you. It can debilitate you. I'm talking to somebody this morning because you're going through the fire right now, and you're in the middle. You're right there at that decision point. Now, this is that point when you decide, do I live or do I die? Do I stay broken or do I try and get myself whole? And man, it seems like nobody's there for you. It really does. I'm telling you, I can speak emphatically about this because I've been through it. I still go through it. Guys, don't let anybody fool you. I don't care, you know, how many people love you. I don't care, you know, what you have. I don't care who you are. You still go through things in life. It does not matter. I don't care what level you get to. I don't care if it's high or low. You're still going to go through things in life. And it's up to you to figure out your mess. Because ultimately, as I said, guys, nothing happens to you. It all happens for you. And ultimately, you created it. You know, by something that you did. Yeah, we know that there are things that may have been beyond our control, but man, those things happen, but you have to decide. You're still right there in the middle. Are you going to decide whether or not you want to stay in the middle, or you want to move forward, or do you want to keep dwelling on the past? You know, guys, I've always talked about people that constantly want to be professional victims, people that always want stay where they are, because quite frankly, people get way more attention being broken than they do being fixed. Something about pain that it's kind of bittersweet, and as they say, it hurts so good. And there's some different facets to that, because it can hurt so good and keep you where you are, or it can hurt so good and it can propel you forward, guys. The middle is really that point, ladies and gentlemen, where you make a decision for your life, really contrary to what everybody else thinks you should do, all right? And this is that moment. It's for you to make a decision. This is that moment. Contrary to what everybody else thinks you should do, guys, this is when you say, I'm willing to take the heat. I'm willing to take the hits. I'm willing to grow up, guys. I'm willing to grow from the failures and the small victories that make up the war, guys. We're talking about the little bitty things. See, everybody gets hung up on, you know, the whole old saying that says you can't see, you know, the trees for the forest, because you're looking at the big picture of everything going on, but you're not looking at the small victories. And I got to be honest with you guys, you know, sometimes the hardest thing in the world to do is to focus on the small victories, because sometimes it's easier to just check out, right? It's easier to just check out and say, God, fix it, God, please fix it. But he's not going to fix it until you do something on your behalf. You got to put some steps forward, and you got to start moving, and you got to start saying, God, I got to be the first partaker in my rescue. I got to start doing what's right. I got to start trying to conquer some of these very small that are in front of me. And these are the victories that are going to start to unwind your situation. And it's not going to propel you forward, guys, so to speak, physically. It's going to bring you back, because I believe in flash, because I'm not a Band-Aid type guy. I'm a Neosporin guy. I need to put some Neosporin on it before I put the Band-Aid on it. Because if I do that, that means when I remove the Band-Aid, then the scar is like almost gone. Just enough for me to realize that it was there. We call that our past. Live in it, we learn from it. So we back up just far enough so that we can realize that, man, this is the mistake that I made. When I was here, I did this, and let me learn from that. Let me write this down, because I never ever want to be back here again. And you start writing some things down, and you start taking some mental notes. And as you're taking these notes, you don't realize that you're not really moving forward. Everybody says, I hit a hard spot, and then I move forward. Guys, you hard spot, and you don't just hit that hard spot and move forward. You can, but when you hit that hard spot, you have to look back on what you did to get you to that spot. Because if you see what you did to get you to that spot, ladies and gentlemen, I can promise you it's going to be very, very hard to do the same thing and make that same mistake twice. You get me once, right? You may get me once, and I'm going to say, you got me. But that second time, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to get me twice. Now, some of you out there have situations to get you four times, and you're living in that thing. You're living in it. It's become you, and it feels so good because you're getting attention. Right? You're getting attention from being broken. You're getting attention because every time somebody tells you, you know, hey, what's going on with you? You've gotten so good at telling them about your pain and your past that you, and there's nothing wrong with that because you want your pain to be your fuel, right? And you want people to know what you've been through. But here's the deal. Put just as much, if not more, emphasis on actually focusing on what I'm doing right now and how I'm moving past that pain. Create some new stories. Create some new testimonies. You know, it's always great to be able to identify on what somebody else has done. It's always great to be able to identify what you've been through. It's always great to be able to check back in and realize what your past is. But right in the middle, guys, is where you decide the pain, your situation, the pain of your situation, ladies and gentlemen, your motivation. And we always say, man, well, people are like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know, you know, what do I do? I need some motivation. You know, I need you to help me. Give me a good word. You know, we get up every Sunday and we go to church and we look for a good word. We're in a situation right now that's hurting so bad, but we won't get off that nail. We just keep going looking for a word. And we always say that your pain should be your pain and your situation should be your motivation. The pain that you're going through right now in your situation, ladies and gentlemen, should be your motivation. And anybody running around looking for motivation and you're sitting on the sharpest nail in your box, in the toolbox, and you're sitting here like, okay, what am I going to do next? But you're still sitting on the same nail. You still, some of you are in the same situations. You're sitting in the middle. You sat there, you folded your arms up, and you're not doing anything else. So Pam and I told this story a while back, and man, it made us want to cry then. And if I talk about it too long, it'll make me want to cry now. But we were headed to the beach, I think, or something like that. And we're driving, and we come up to this busy intersection, and we're wondering why all of the cars are blowing and the horns. You know, and we hear brakes squealing and things of that nature. And then all of a sudden, we finally get to the intersection and the traffic's, you know, busy and hustling. And we start to make our right turn. And we notice in the middle of the intersection is a guy sitting there. He's sitting there because he's given up. He doesn't want to do it anymore. He's like, I can't. His life has gotten to where it's so bad that he just feels he can't go any further. And when you get to that point, ladies and gentlemen, you feel that you can't go any further, sometimes you want to give up. And he sat there and he was just sitting there. He didn't care if he got hit by a car. He didn't care what happened. He was right there at that decision point, right there of his life, and he in the middle of his situation, and he was like, I just don't know what to do. My situation is so dire that I'm just gonna sit here, and it doesn't matter, you know, what happens to me. And somebody that's on this listening in right now, ladies and gentlemen, you're going through that exact same thing. There's some stuff that's going on, but I'm here to tell you, it can be a lot worse. Things can get worse, because every time I knew, guys, when we were going through, and every single time when I said, God, if this gets any worse, I don't know what I'm going to do. Every time I said that, guys, I'm going to tell you, it got worse. It got worse. Because guess what? The devil always comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And if we lay down and we allow the devil to do that, guys, to give up, then he's going to come and he's going to take us out. But this guy sat there. And at that moment, we're turning the corner, and Pam and I, this guy, and we're like, oh my God, he just sitting there, he gave up, you know. And we're like, okay, we're trying to figure out, you know, where we can pull over, because, you know, and we're not the only people. Everybody's trying to figure out how to get out and help this guy. And then the police, you know, kind of screech up, and they get him out of the middle of the road. And some people are right at that point in their life, man, to where you have to make a decision. Is the pain of staying the same greater than the pain of change? And some of you don't know how to change. Some people just don't understand what it is that I need to do to change. And they don't understand that it's those very small victories, the very little things that you do. We always hear the cliches, one step at a time. Take one step at a time. And that, let me tell you guys something. Man, some of you can identify with this. Man, when you're going through some pain, there's not a whole bunch that anybody can really say to you at that very moment that kind of like pulls you like all the way out of that pain. It's that middle piece, that middle part is the pain that's so intense. I don't think some of y'all understand. It's that pain that, because some of you haven't done it yet, it's that pain that's so intense that you don't feel anybody can rescue you. You feel as if your whole world has come down on you. Some of you aren't even at your pain threshold yet. Some of you are at a point to where you think you're at it, but you're not there yet. I'm talking about that moment where you feel like giving up because you don't see any other way out. It's so dark. It's so dark that when somebody comes in and they tell you that you're going to make it through, you almost want to backhand them. You almost want to just curse them out. It's that moment. I'm talking about that pain that's so sharp that you just don't know what to do to get out of it. And to be honest with you, you've kind of closed off to everything else because you've almost given up. And the only person that can pull you out of that, it's God, man. God gives us the strength to do it. I'm telling you right now. But the only person that can pull you out of that, guys, is, of course, you and the God in you. And I'm going to be honest with you. If at that very moment you don't decide to do something, to take that little baby step for the guy sitting in the middle of the road, it was that last ditch effort for him to say, what I am worthy. I do have something worth living for. It was that moment when he would have had to decide to not sit in the middle of the road because he had given up at that point. I'm done. He had given up his middle. He had chosen death. He had chosen that I'm just done. Nobody else wants me. Nothing else is I'm not worthy of anything else. I'm not even worthy of life. And I can imagine what's going through his head. He probably felt that God had forsaken him. He probably felt that, you know, God, why is this happening to me? And I'm telling you guys, the middle is just at that point before you decide to sit down in the middle of the road and say, I'm done. It's just not worth it anymore. Because I'm speaking to somebody right now. Somebody right now, your lights are getting ready to get cut off. You don't have any gas to probably get to work this morning. You don't even know if you're going to make it to work because you're probably on fumes right now. And you're just praying that when you get to work, somebody can give you $20 to get you some gas. Just $5. Because I know how that feels. I can remember driving the SUV that I love on the way back home from work. Wheels wobbling, not knowing how, you know, we were really going to make those ends meet. Guys, I'm driving home from work. I didn't have enough gas. I was praying that I was going to make it home from work. I ran out of gas on a road. And at that moment, I felt like this little. I'm driving around in an Escalade, and I don't have enough money for gas. Some of you guys, God is telling you to analyze your situation. Look at where you are, because there's always things that you can affect. Some of you are living above and beyond your means. Some of you don't understand that you got to let go something sometimes in order to get something. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that God had my best interest at hand when he was making things pass and taking things away from me. I didn't understand that. All I wanted to do was keep. Hold. Don't let anything go. When God is like hitting your knuckles trying to say, let that go, that's not good for you. Right now, God is slapping some of you in the forehead, telling you to get out of the situation that you're in right now. He's telling you right now, the person that you're hanging around, the people that you're associating with are not the right people. You're right there in the middle in that moment in your life where God is trying to help you, but you keep moving forward toward the fire. You keep moving forward toward destruction. And then when you get to that point, the first person you want to blame is God. Because power, when my Bible tells me that God, that Jesus took his power a long time ago, he's powerless, but we keep giving him power for some odd reason. It's called scapegoat. We either scapegoat the devil or we scapegoat God. And God is waiting on us to be first partaker in our rescue, but we sit right there in the middle of the road and say, God, fix it. God, fix it. And God's like, I didn't create that. You did. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to take an action. You're going to have to take a mental action, and you're going to have to take a physical action. And until you decide to do that, guess what, guys? Your situation is not going to change. I'm talking to somebody. If it's not you, it's not you. Maybe you've already conquered your middle for today, for the week, for the month. There's always a middle that's coming, guys, and it's always there. You always there. It's that thing that you kind of ignore, that thing that you ignore to a point to where you recognize it's happening, but you think that God's just going to fix it. He's going to fix it. I'm not going to have to do anything. I'm just going to throw my hands up, and God's going to fix it. No, he ain't going to fix it until you start to fix it. See, here's what we don't understand. And guys, I had to learn this the hard way. Is when God gives us something, he gives us something in order for us to be stewards over what he's given us. And when we are not good stewards over what he's given us, plain and simple, ladies and gentlemen, we lose it. I don't know any other way to say that. We lose it. When he gives for us not to just partake in it for ourselves, but he gives to us to give to others as well. And whenever we talk about giving, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing, the first mindset that we resort to is money. Let me tell you guys, money is necessary on this earth, but it is not what makes the world go round. It's not what feeds your life force. It's not who you really are. Once you discover who you really, really are, guys, and sometimes it's right in the middle when you discover who you really are. But when you discover who you really are is when you can really start contributing to somebody's future. And not just a monetary fashion. God gave each one of us a skill set we have to learn. And until we learn that skill set, then we're really not walking and functioning in our purpose. We're really not on our journey. We're really not on our destiny towards our destination. Until we figure out what it is that God created me to do. Who am I? What is my gifts? What are my talents? What are the things that God said I can apply and affect the most change in? When you figure those things out, guys, is when you start in the direction that God created you to move in. But some of us aren't moving in that direction because we haven't spent time enough to know what that direction is and what our skill set is. Some of us are ashamed of our skill set. Some of us don't even know what it is, and some of us know what it is, but we don't want to take the hits to start doing what it takes to do it. We always talk about the smart, the start, the bridge, and the destination. The bridge, ladies and gentlemen, is a part of the middle. When you get to that point in life, when you start to figure out what you're supposed to do, it gets scary. It always does. Just like life, when you go through the pain, when you go through the situations in life, guys, it's painful. It's so painful. You just want to give up sometimes. You just want to say, man, you know what? It's easier for me to stay broken and remain a professional victim because when I can tell about my past is much easier because I've already come through it and there's no more pain in that. I get a lot of likes when I post something on my social media and it talks about my pain and my past. I get a lot of likes. Everybody loves it. Something about pain that people are attracted to. But you have to use your pain for good. You ever heard the saying, guys, that says it hurts so good? If you're not using for good, it's like the same thing as using your powers for evil. It's like if you use what your gifting is for good, then it's going to propel you towards your destination. If you do use your gifting for bad, then it's going to keep you in the same place. And staying in the same place, ladies and gentlemen, is just like moving backwards. So there's no difference because when you're standing there and you're talking about your pain, all you ever talk about is how bad you got it. All you ever talk about is what happened to you when you were 20, 21 years old, how this happened and how, you know, because of this is why I am where I am right now. This is why I can't do this. This is why I can't do that. And you come up with this elaborate story as to why you are not where you can be in life. You come up with this elaborate blueprint of your final resting spot, your rest in peace spot right now. You're still living, eyes open, breathing, and some of you are already dead. You've buried. The average American, ladies and gentlemen, will live their life until they're about 30 years old, and then they stop believing. They stop dreaming again. They stop believing in themselves. They stop thinking that they can do the thing that they thought about when they were 19, 18. Old, 20 years old, they stop believing in those things anymore, and they just die. We call it the walking dead syndrome. You're walking around dead because you're living a life that says, I'm doing what I want to do, but you're really not. So you're dead. You're walking around like a zombie. You rest in peace right where you are. You're not moving any further. And because you're not moving any further, you're a professional victim. You're living on your past residue of what you've done before. I was great back then. I did this in high school. Man, I did this. We call them playground legends. You know, we call them the people that have rested. They've stopped living, and they tell stories of what they used to be and how they used to do things. See, and if you guys know me, I always talk about, I never want to hold a conversation with a person that just talks about their past. I don't want to hold a conversation with a person that's just talking about, you know, what they are right now. I want to talk about the future. I want to talk about where you're going. I want to talk about what you're doing right now to make your tomorrow better than what your today is. It's called growth. And a lot of us have gotten to that point. And I'm talking to somebody. A lot of us, some people have gotten to that point to where they've sat down, just like I'm sitting in this chair, and they've looked at their situation, they've analyzed their life, and they've stopped. They've quit. And they're saying, all I got to do at this point in time in my life is get up every morning and go to work. Yeah, y'all know I was going to talk about the job. I know how it feels. I wouldn't talk about it if I'd never done it. I'm telling you right now, I know how it feels. I got to get up. I got to go to work because AOB is a necessary evil, right? For right now, that's how I saw it. It's evil. There's no other way to say that, guys. But there are people that are going to work a job the rest of their lives. C'est la vie. But there are people out there that want more in life. There are people out there right now that don't want to get up every morning and go to a job. There are people out there that don't want to have to wake up at 6 in the morning and fight traffic. There are people out there right now, I'm talking to them, that don't want somebody telling them exactly can get to work or when they have to get to work, when they can go to lunch. You don't want to hear that bell anymore that says, ding, 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 I got to go to lunch. See, some of you are saying, well, what else am I going to do? What else can I do? This is what they told me I should do. We've always been told, get up, get a job, get married, have kids, and then you've done it. You make some money, you've arrived. And some of us are sitting like, okay, I'm good. I got a job. I got a good job. I'm making $50,000, $60,000 a year. I'm driving a nice car. I'm living in a nice house. And I'm good. Life is good. If that's where you are, ladies and gentlemen, and if that's the pinnacle of what you want to be and what you want out of life, I can't tell you what you want. It's up to you. But if that's what you want, then I take my hat off to you. You've arrived. Pop the bubbly, guys, have a party. You've arrived. But there are a lot of people that are listening to me right now, and we run across a lot of people that don't even know that they've given up in life. They don't even know that they've settled for where they are because the pain of staying the same doesn't yet outweigh the pain of becoming better, of change. So they sit there and they accept where they are, and here's the kiss of death, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you guys have ever heard me say that. Here's the kiss of death. You start your descent when you start believing your own lies. When you start to believe that I got to the middle and this is as far as I want to go. I don't need to go any further. I'm good. And then you start to believe in it. It's not that everybody else on the outside is believing it. That's easy to get people to believe with the mask that you put on, because quite honestly, it's people believe whatever you give them to see. But it's when you get home and every day for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years, you put that mask on when you leave the house and you take it off when you get home and you don't like what you see, but you got to put the mask on when you get out the house. And when you put that mask on, you've done it for so long, then all of a sudden it's on, off, on, off, on, off. You get home, all of a sudden one day you're just like, I'm not even going to take it off. This is who I am now. And I don't want any more. I don't want to be any more. I'm cool with who I am. I'm cool with what I have. This isn't so bad. I'm good. I'm not, I can't do that because of this anyway. You know, if I do that, this is going to happen. And you've talked yourself, you've effectively talked yourself out of being anything more than what you are right now. Yeah, I know this is hurting, guys, because I had this same conversation with myself looking in the mirror. I'm like, why are you sitting in the same place? Why are you sitting here acting as if you don't want any more? Why are you allowing these people to limit you? Why are you allowing people to tell you what to do every day? Pam will tell you that the one thing that you, if you want to piss me off, the one thing that you can do to me is try to tell me what I have to do. Guys, I was in the military for 4 years, told what I had to do. As a matter of fact, I did 3 years of JROTC, and every time I walked in that classroom, they tried to tell me what I had to do. Went right to the military, got straight installed, went right to the military. Went in, learned the craft in there. Guys, was told what I need to do, what I need to wear, how I need to wear it, how I need to wear it. Everything from A to Z, I was told what to do. Left there, went right to corporate America, and they started telling me what to do. The last thing right now, ladies and gentlemen, that I want anybody to do with me is to tell me what I have to do. You can give me suggestions all day long. You can sow into my life all day long. You can tell me what you feel is the best thing for me all day long. But that moment when you said you got to do this or you got to do that is the moment when I check out mentally, and then shortly after that is when I check out physically. Pam will tell you that's the one thing that you can do to me that's going to piss me off. And I got a sneaky suspicion that there's some of you that are on this line today that are either just realizing that that's how you are, or you already know that that's how I am. I don't like to be told, don't tell me what to do, because I believe that it's not so much as what you say, it's how you say it. And with me, you get more results with sugar from me than you do with salt. So when I get the salty, I may not curse you out. I may not get a messed up facial expression, as I tend to do sometimes. I may not talk about you. I ain't going to hate on you. But I can promise you that I look up and I'm not there anymore. I can promise you that I'm going to do what's best for me. And what I'm telling you guys right here on the grind this morning is everybody has that moment in life. Everybody has that moment in life, ladies and gentlemen, that they get to that one little spot where they have to make the decision on whether or not I'm going to fail, or whether I'm going to succeed. Some of you are there right now. Some of you are trying to figure out what I'm going to do. And it can be something as small as a tank of gas. It can be something as small as, man, my lights are going to get cut off today. What am I going to do? See, I love the movie, and I'm going to tell you this, and it's going to piss some of you guys off. I'm a movie person, and I love a lot of different movies, but I can the movie Batman. I don't know which one it was, but it's the one with Bane in it. And it's the one when Batman was trying to fight Bane, but he was so out of practice. He was so he had been in retirement for so long. And he came out, and but Bane was that dude that had always said, you know, I was born in the dark. he said they gave birth to me in the dark. He said, I lived in the dark. He said, I thrived in the dark. He made his bed in the dark. And at that point is when he broke Batman's back. But Batman had to go and get his weight up. He had to go in the dark. See, guys, you don't learn to fight until you're presented with a situation that causes you to have to fight. And at that moment is when you actually build your muscles to fight. You either build a muscle to give up or you build a muscle to fight. One is easy, one is hard. Take the hard now to have it easy later. See, it's that moment, guys, right now where some of you are saying things are so hard that I just don't know. And you take that hit right now. You have to first accept that I jacked this up, man. I messed this up. This is my fault. I'm not blaming anybody else. This isn't anybody else's fault. This is my fault. And because it's my fault, I got to fix it. I'm not going to ask anybody else for help. I'm going to take these hits. If my lights get cut off, guess what? I'm going to have to go get me some candles. I'm going to have to raise the money. I'm going to have to get what I need to get my light back on. If my kids say, Mama, Daddy, why the lights off? Baby, we're gonna have a sleepover. We got the lights off. We're going to have some fun. Light that candle over there. And guess what that does? Some of y'all don't want to hear this. Guess what that does? Man, that makes that nail sharp enough for you to get up and do something different in order to have something different. See, but a lot of you don't want to get that at that very moment. A lot of you don't want to get that you got to improvise, adapt, and overcome. A lot of y'all don't get that. Instead of improvising, adapting, and overcoming, the first thing you do is you speed dial and see who I can call to get me out of this mess. See, the nail isn't sharp enough until you realize that I can't call on anybody. As a fact, the nail gets the sharpest when you realize that I don't want to call anybody. I got to figure this out for myself. Let me grab this Neosporin. Let me put it on this wound right now. Let me rub it down. Let me put this Band-Aid over it. Let me get this thing airtight. So nothing, ladies and gentlemen, can come in and affect my growth, my healing. Because once I can heal what's in here, and once I can create that barrier here, ladies and gentlemen, no, then I can't be hurt there again. Do you guys know that when you tear a muscle, when you break a bone, it heals back like 10 times harder, 10 times stronger than what it was? That fiber, that muscle fiber that you tear, that bone that you crack, that you break, when it heals back 10 times stronger, and you're less likely to get a break in that area. And that's what God is trying to tell you guys. The line. He's trying to tell you that you have to take the hit. You have to go through the healing process. Stop always looking for somebody to bail you out. And this is how some of you look for somebody to bail you out. I'm going to sit here and wait on God to move. God's going to fix it. So you start singing these songs. You can sing songs like Smokey Norfolk in the middle. I could have sat all day long, guys, when I lost my job and been like, man, Smokey Norfolk in the middle. He's going to fix this. God's going to fix it. He's going to fix it. Let me tell you why I know, because I sat there for 7 months. I mailed out tea. I sat there acting like, okay, I'm going to get another job. And God blocked that thing for me. He blocked it because he knew that if I grew through this, then I can grow through anything. So when he blocked it, I didn't know why he was blocking. I'm like, God, I felt like the guy sitting in the road. I'm like, why can't you give me another job? You see, my family got to eat. You see, we homeless. You see, we don't got nothing to drive. You see, we don't got no food. I'm sitting there like, God, why are you doing this to me? And God laughed, like, man, why are you doing that to yourself? You created this. I didn't create this. I had to realize, guys, that, you know what? After 7 months, me trying to find a job, me listening to people minimize my skill set, telling me that they're only going to pay me, you know, $16 an hour, $18 an hour. And I'm looking at that, you know, as an insult. I'm like, man, you telling me I'm only going to make $18 an hour? You know, I was making $75 an hour. I made as much as $120, $130 an hour just on what I know, what I have here, sitting behind a computer, doing nothing but telling people what they need to do because my skill set was good. Now you're going to pay me $16, $18 an hour for that? Man, I was hurt. But that was God trying to tell me that I've got more food. Because they're going to minimize. I've already went ahead. I've smoothed out the thing for you. All you got to do is walk in it. I didn't get it. It took me 7 months to get it. But when I got it. I got it. And y'all need to get it. Because anybody going to fix it for you but you.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems like my best just ain't good enough. Lord, if you hear me, I'm calling you. Do you see, do you care all about what I'm going through? And then he said, one more day, one more step. See, I'm preparing you for myself. And when you can't hear my voice, please trust my plan. I'm the Lord, I see, and yes, I understand. Sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. I'm just like a stranger so far from home. I feel like I've done all that I can do. Please, Lord, give me strength. I'm just trying to make it through. That's when he told me.
Chiming in, and I apologize, man. You know, you just sometimes you got to get out of your own way, man. And if you get out of your own way, you realize that, you know, there's a lot in front of you that's just waiting for you that God has already fixed. But you can't because you're standing in that same spot and you just got to move forward. It's the hardest thing in the world sometimes is to move forward. And if you make that decision, man, that, you know what, I know where I am. I know why I'm here. if you finally make that decision that, you know what, I'm not going to wait for anybody else to come save me. I'm going to start saving myself. And once you make that decision, ladies and gentlemen, you stop looking for help. You take the hits. You stop looking for people to come in and do the right things. You stop looking for motivation. Your situation becomes your motivation, and you take the hits. You let go of the stuff, man, that God is trying to get you out of. You get out of the situations that you don't need to be in. You stop hanging around the people that you don't need to hang around. You stop allowing everybody into your life that don't know anything about what you're going through, that can't identify, that's giving you such bad advice that now you're blaming them. No, it's not their fault. It's your fault. And once you take the blame, ladies and gentlemen, that's when you get to the point to where you can start moving forward. And nothing happens until you get to that point, guys. All right. So, man, God bless you guys, man. I appreciate all the comments. Man, I'm going to go back and I'm going to read the comments, guys. I'm going to respond. You know, I want to go ahead and end the show now. And, you know, so you guys can jump on, you know, jump on the Wake Up and Win. Hear my amazing wife, Ms. Pam McCray. She's up here in just a couple of minutes. Jump on the Wake Up and Win, ladies and gentlemen, and, you know, hear her story, hear her talk about, you know, exactly what's on her heart today. And guys, be blessed by that, you know, as well, guys. So go ahead and jump on the Wake Up and Win, guys. We'll see you guys on Thursday morning, bright and early. God bless you guys, man. Love y'all.